إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all humanity. Whomever Allah guides, there is none to misguide, and whomever Allah leaves to go astray, there is none to guide. To start with, I would like to congratulate the whole Muslim community in Edmonton on the building of the Islamic Academy, on the completion of the project, and I encourage every Muslim here to send their children to seek Islamic knowledge at this huge and momentous building. As we know in Islam, seeking knowledge, Islamic knowledge, is an obligation on every Muslim man and woman. So take advantage of this project. وبعد فخطبة اليوم هي ربما من أهم الخطب التي ستسمعونها في حياتكم. أنا لم أقل من أحسنها، ولكن من أهم الخطب التي تستمعون إليها، لأنها تتكلم عن سبب وجودك في هذه الحياة. ونتكلم اليوم بمنتهى الصراحة عن هذا الموضوع. So today's topic, today's khutbah is probably one of the most important topics or khutbahs you can hear in your life. I didn't say it's one of the nicest, but one of the most important. Because it talks about your very existence, the reason you exist in this life. In Edmonton, in Canada, in North America, and this whole globe. Why are you here? ومعلوم أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد جعل لكل شيء سببا. فإذا سألت واحد من الصين أو من فلسطين أو من الأرجنتين لماذا يأكل، دائما تحصل على نفس الإجابة: نأكل لنتغذى ونتقوى على العمل وكذا. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى created a reason for everything. And when you ask people throughout the world, regardless of their faith, regardless of their color or nationality, you will always get the same answer. For example, if you ask someone from Japan or from Palestine or from Argentina why you eat, you always get the same answer, man. And the answer is always, we eat to sustain life so we can survive. If you ask someone from Alberta or from Montreal or from Winnipeg, why do you go to Tim Hortons? You'll always get the same answer: we go to drink coffee or drink Earl Grey tea, like me. If you ask someone, why do you take the train, man, or the bus, or why do you take the plane? You'll always get the same answer: we are taking the plane, the train, or the car, so we go from one place to the other. So imagine if you're sitting next to someone in a train, and you ask them, where are you going, man? They tell you, we don't know. You'll give them the wicked look and call them psychos and zombies because they don't know where they're going. You should get a definite answer from them. أما السؤال الوحيد الذي يختلف عليه الناس جميعا هو سبب وجودك في الحياة. أنت موجود هنا بتعمل إيه؟ ماذا تفعل في هذه الدنيا؟ وتأتيك إجابات مختلفة. فإذا سألت واحد مثلا، أنت عايش لماذا تعيش في هذه الدنيا؟ يقول لك، أنا عايش عشان أعمل مصاري وفلوس أموال وعيش عيشة سعيدة. So the only question that you will get different answers on is the most important question in this life that no one is willing to answer. When you ask him, what is the purpose of your life? What are you doing in this life? Why? Why are you here? So if you ask someone, they will say, okay, we are here to make money and enjoy our life. But brothers and sisters, money can buy you medicine, but it doesn't buy you health. It can buy you a car, but it doesn't buy you comfort. It can buy you a bed, but it doesn't buy you sleep. And look at this fact. Statistically speaking, the highest countries with the highest suicide rates in the world are the richest countries in the world.
They are the most depressed people in the world. They kill themselves, although they have more money than most people in the world. So money does not buy you happiness.
ربما تسأل إنسان آخر ويقول لك للسبب أن أعيش في الدنيا حتى أعمرها بإني أنجب أولاد.
So if you ask someone else, they'll say, okay, we are here to live and make babies and die. Okay?
So if this is your answer, brother and sister, what makes you different from your cat that you have at home?
It precisely does the same thing. It's born, makes babies, and dies.
So you as a human being, you have a bit of reason, a bit of purpose in this life, right?
فمتع الحياة الدنيا المختلفة أيا كانت الإجابة متع الدنيا كما يقولون كشمس إدمنتون تراها في الشتاء طول اليوم ولكن لا تعطيك دفئا ولا حرارة.
So the enjoyment of this life, regardless whatever your answer might be to this question, the enjoyment of this life is just like the sun of Edmonton in the winter. You see it all the time, but it doesn't give you heat. 1 year ago, before I came here, some of my friends here in Edmonton, I gave them a call and I said how life is in Edmonton, and they say that Edmonton is probably the sunniest place in Canada. And believe me, they lied to me. So what is the point of you see the sun all the time, but it doesn't give you heat, man? Okay?
So the enjoyment of this life, whether it is money or children, is not the right reason why you are here.
والله سبحانه وتعالى يخبرنا في القرآن ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. وعندما يتكلم الله سبحانه وتعالى عن تمتع الناس في الدنيا يقول وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد.
And Allah سبحانه وتعالى is giving us this answer in the Quran and saying that some people think that they are here in this life just to make money and to make babies. But this is not the reason why you are here, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says.
طيب ما سبب وجودنا في هذه الحياة؟ الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول في سورة الذاريات وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ
I have not created jinn and humans except to worship and serve me.
فقد يسأل سائل كيف أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يخلقنا لسبب واحد وهو العبادة مع أننا معظم الوقت لا نعبد الله سبحانه وتعالى نذهب للدراسة أو للعمل أو للتجارة وكذا ولكن اعلم أخي الحبيب وأختي الحبيبة أن الله سبحانه وتعالى من رحمته جعل كل عمل تقوم به في هذه الحياة بنية خالصة ولإرضاء رب العالمين جعلها عبادة فالصلاة عبادة والعمل عبادة والدراسة عبادة وتبسمك في وجه أخيك صدقة وإماطة الأذى من الطريق صدقة حتى أن استمتاع الرجل بزوجته والمرأة بزوجها هو عبادة كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الصحيح.
So the purpose for our very existence in this life, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, is to worship and serve Him alone.
So some people ask, how can we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serve Him 24/7? Because this is the only reason why we are here. We have to work, we have to study.
The answer is, anything that you do in this life with a good intention is an act of worship.
So salah is an act of worship. When you go out to work to make people's lives easy and to be productive in the society is an act of worship.
When you go to study to be a doctor, to heal people and to make their life more enjoyable.
When you become an engineer, to make people's lives easy, this is an act of worship.
Anything you do in this life with a good intention is an act of worship.
The Prophet ﷺ says, even smiling to your brother is an act of worship.
Removing a harmful object from the street is an act of worship.
So much so that the Prophet ﷺ said, even when you enjoy your wife, when you enjoy your husband, this is an act of worship in Islam, because if you do it in haram, you will be punished, and therefore if you do it with your wife or your husband in halal way, then you will get the reward.
So this is the very purpose of our existence.
طيب إذا كان هو السبب الوحيد لوجودنا في الحياة هو طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى وابتغاء مرضاته. سبب شقاء ومعاناة الناس في هذه الدنيا. طيب الإجابة بسيطة جدا. تأتي المعاناة والشقاء في هذه الدنيا إذا وضعت هواك فوق رضا الله.
وَإِذَا وَضَعْتَ عَادَاتِكَ وَتَقَلِيدِكَ أَمَامَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا وَضَعْتَ لِلسِّيَاسَ أو إلى غيره أمام الله سبحانه وتعالى. فتختلط الأمور، تختلط الأولويات في حياتك. So someone might ask, okay, now we know the very purpose of our existence in this life, why so many people are miserable in this life? So the purpose or the reason why some people are miserable in this life is because their priorities are messed up. And people come to me all the time. They are fighting, asking for divorce, shooting at each other, bleeding. And I tell them all the time, please don't bleed on my couch, it's new. So, when you put your desires in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you suffer. You live a miserable life. For example, when it is time to salah and the adhan is made, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But you say, no. My video games are bigger than Allah. Or my work is bigger than Allah. Or playing soccer or hockey is bigger than Allah. Because you don't pray, you continue playing games and video games and soccer and so on and so forth, and you don't pray until the salah is over and the time for next salah is on. Or when you don't see provision or risk in this life through halal means, you always look for a fast way to be rich. You want to build a house in 2-3 months or a short period of time, a $2 million house, and the easiest way to make money is to sell drugs, as some people do. And the most creative way of selling drugs, as I heard in the past few months I have been here, is to deliver drugs to someone in a pizza box, as some people do. The other day, I was coming from the graveyard, not because I was dead, but because we were burying someone. So on the way, Brother Abu Hassan, I was with him in the car with Brother Abu Taha, and all of a sudden, 7 police cars came toward us from all directions. So I looked at him and I said, La hawla wa quwwata, what did you do, man? What did you do again, man? He said, Wallahi, don't look at me, I didn't do nothing, man. Then, while we were going to the side, we saw a brother, someone, in his 17 years old, 18 years old, and the police men were all over him, and he was holding a pizza box in his hand, and of course, maybe he has drugs below the pizza. This is the easiest way. So this is when you put your desire over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a society, when you put your adat, your traditions in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تحاول أن ترضي الناس بغضب الله حتى الناس يقولوا عمل كذا وكذا أن تزوج ابنتك مثلا لابن أخيها غض رغما عنها أو أن تسرف في الحفلات أو في المناسبات أو كذا حتى أن الناس يقولوا كريم وتلقي 70% من الطعام في القمامة هذا من الإسراف وهذا من العادات المذمومة. The second type is when you put your traditions in front of Allah. When you push your daughter to marry her cousin to please people and displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you invite people to your house, you invite 5 people to your house and you cook people that is more than enough for 50 people, 50. So people will say, oh, mashallah, he is generous. Then you throw 80% of the food in the trash. Also, when you, as a society, and I'm talking also about our societies back home, when they put politics in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since the 1950s, our countries, whether it's Pakistan, Egypt, Lebanon, Somalia, all of them, we tried everything and we failed a big time. We tried communism and we failed. We tried socialism, we failed. We tried secularism, we failed. We tried capitalism and we failed. And till this day, some people are not willing to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a chance to fix the mess in their life. So how do you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you prosperous and successful if you're not giving Him a chance to fix your life? So these are some of the reasons why we are miserable in this life. طيب كيف تعرف إن حياتك الأولويات مرتبة في حياتك؟ وهذا هو موضوع مهم. أولا لابد أن تحاسب نفسك كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأحاديث وكما فعل الصحابة وكما أخبر القرآن. تجلس 5 دقائق احنا في جانيوري في بداية السنة ثم تدرس حياتك الماضية، هل حياتي مرتبة بشكل صحيح؟ هل أعطي حقوق الله لله؟ هل أعطي حقوق الناس للناس؟ هل أظلم زوجتي؟ هل أظلم زوجي؟ هل أعطيت أخواتي نصيبهم في الميراث أم ظلمتهم وأخذت الأموال لنفسي؟ So to know whether your priorities are in order or not, you have to sit back and reflect. I'm giving you three quick solutions and I'll wrap it up with this. So the first one is you have to sit back and reflect, give yourself 5-10 minutes to think about your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rights on you. Your wife or husband has rights on you. Your children have rights on you. The people around you have rights on you. Are you giving everyone around you the rights or not? Then you'll be able to decide if your priorities are in order or not. الأمر الثاني كان يعني هو موضوع لا أعلم إذا كان بعض الناس سيتخيلوه ولا لا. تتخيل أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأتيك ضيفا ليجلس معك يوم فيطرق الباب ويقول لك لو سمحت أنا هجلس معك عشان أشوف أنت ماشي كويس ولا إيه. ففي بعض الناس يقول له طيب يا رسول الله اسمح لي أخش أضبط بيتي لأن عندي مشاكل عشان تخبي الحشيش وتخبي البلاوي تمام. فبعض الناس تترك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ساعتين حتى تضبط الأمور. في بعض الناس تتركه 6 ساعات. في بعض الناس تتركه أسبوع. كل واحد على حسب المصايب اللي عنده. ده لسه بقى ما يقولك أروح معك الشغل ولسه أروح معك السيارة وكذا مصيبة سودة. The second technique is to imagine and visualize that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is coming to spend a day with you. So some people will ask, O Prophet of Allah, give us a couple of hours to fix the mess in our house, to put the weed, the crack, the dope, and all that stuff to the side, and so on and so forth. And when the Prophet ﷺ tells you, let's go to the masjid to pray, man, you'll tell him, okay, let's Google the masjid because, you know, I haven't been to the masjid in years. I don't know if they're still in 113th Street or they moved to Winnipeg. I don't know. So what is this, man? The third one, الحالة الثالثة أنك تتخيل أنك تموت الآن وتقف بين يدي الله ثم تسأل كما يسأل آخرون رب ارجعني أعمل صالحا فيما تركت ثم تعطي نفسك مهلة حتى تصلح ما أنت فيه. The third technique is to imagine for just 5 minutes you close your eyes and think for 5 minutes that you died. And some people will say how can I die, man? How can I die? If you can't die, you have to can. Because one day you will actually die. So people will say, okay, I can't die. Because the world will be devastated when I die. My family will be devastated when I die. My company will be devastated when I die. So I tell you, brother and sister, don't worry. Just die. The world will not be devastated when you die. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died 1400 years ago and nothing happened. Also, family-wise, maybe your wife will get another husband in 2 years, or your husband will get another wife in 2 weeks at most. Your children will take your money and go to Hawaii and enjoy their life, and they will just forget you just died a few days ago. What about work? Don't worry. They will get someone better than you, will do a better job than you and take half of the pay that you get, so they will actually be dancing in the street when you die. So don't worry, just die. And just imagine that your life will be over, and when you think about this, you will be able to fix the mess you created in your life, so when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your board will be clean and pure. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yu'allimana ma yanfa'una wa yarzuqna ittiba'ahu. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله قد سلبه ربه رحمة للعالمين. عليكم أيها الإخوة والأخوات أن تعلموا أن الحياة في هذه الدنيا قصيرة وكل يوم نأخذ إنسان إلى المقام لنغفره فربما الله سبحانه وتعالى يعلم من عليه الدور وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يرزقنا الصحة والحياة الطويلة. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخبر أنه خير الناس من طال عمره وحسن عمله. So our life in this world is short and the enjoyment of this world is short, and I will conclude with this inshallah. So you have always to keep this in your mind. Whether you live for 30 years or another 70 years, eventually you will leave this world and go to the next life, which is the most eternal life. You reap in the next life what you sow in this life. So as they say, this life is a plantation for the next life. Always repeat these words. عليك أن تكرر هذه الكلمات حتى تستقيم حياتك. فإذا عرفت أنك تقف أمام الله سبحانه وتعالى ويسألك عن كل شيء تصلح حالك إن كان عندك ضميرا سليما. فالله سبحانه وتعالى يقول وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who are afraid of standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for judgment, they will fix their lives and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them Jannah at the end. So whatever language you speak, I want you to always repeat these words every time you don't know the purpose of your life in this world. So if you speak Arabic, I want you to always say, إِنَّ الْحَيَاةَ قَصِيرَ. If you speak Turkish, I want you to always say that hayat çok kısa. If you speak English, I want you to always say life is very short. If you speak French, I want you to say la vie est courte. If you speak Urdu, I want you to always say zindagi bahut mukhtasar hai. If you speak Somali, I want you to always say nolosho wayat hai. Life is very short. Whatever language you speak, you have to always say it and it will fix your life. With that being said, the last thing I want to say today, that now we know that our life in this life is very short, so every minute, every second, every day matters to you. Every minute that is gone from your life, it doesn't come back again. And they always say in Arabic, الشيء الوحيد الذي إذا زاد نقص هو العمر. The only thing that it decreases when it increases is your life. It brings you closer to the last day. If you want to know the value, the significance of 1 year, ask someone who just failed the exam and has to do another year. If you want to know the value, the significance of a month, ask a mother who just delivered a baby prematurely and how much she will suffer. If you want to know the value of just 1 minute, ask someone who just missed a plane or a train. If you want to know the value of the fraction of a second, ask someone who just got a bronze medal in a competition. Because technically the difference between the gold, silver, and bronze is a fraction of a second. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا اللهم أحسن ختامنا وتولى أمورنا وارض علينا اللهم يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا وكن لهم ولا تكن عليهم اللهم احقن دماء المسلمين واشفي مرضاهم وارحم موتاهم اللهم عليك بالطغاة الظالمين اللهم عليك بمن استباح الدماء والأموال والأعراض اللهم عجل بهلاكهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأقم الصلاة